law of the leper, Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 to 57. Seeking the leper, the first thought, from verse 1 to 9. Atonement and consecration, verse 10 to 32. And cleansing his house, verse 33 to 57. In chapter 13, we saw the instruction given to the priest to convict a leper of ceremonial uncleanness. You recall we spoke concerning how the leper is to identify the spread of leprosy in a person. And so there were specific instructions given concerning the boil, concerning the plague that will come to the person, to so that the priest would be able to clearly identify the disease, to pronounce a person ceremonially unclean. But there were no prescriptions given in chapter 13 concerning how the leper is to be cured. There is no prescription given how to cure this plague that comes to the person. But if God were to cure the person, then here in chapter 14, it is instructed how he can be cleansed. So the curing part, you see, is from the Lord. There are those lepers who died from leprosy. There are those also who contracted leprosy and were healed. And so the healing and the curing is of the Lord. And the priest is instructed for those who are cured, whom the Lord would cure, how to bring them back to the fellowship and congregation of God's people. Whereas before that, because of the plague of leprosy, they were isolated. They had to be separated from the rest of the people. Because this leprosy is contagious, it would affect the people around them. And you also recall how this plague of leprosy affects not only the person, but all, even the garments that they wear, so that they would have, the garments has to be cleansed. And the house, the plague can contaminate garments, house, anything that it can be spread onto. This was what was described to us. And if you were to study those who were plagued with leprosy, you would notice Uzziah, the king of Judah, died of leprosy. He intruded into the priest's office to offer offering, and God struck him with leprosy, and he died a leper. And also Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, was also plagued with leprosy, not only him but his posterity, so that Gehazi would remain a leper for the rest of his life. But for Miriam, who is the sister of Moses, when they came against Moses, God plagued Miriam with the disease for 7 days, and then God healed her, right? The judgment as well as the cure, right, you find is of the Lord. And the priest's work is to be able to identify. Right? So for those who are healed, the priest is to go out of the camp to where the leper is, and then to look at him again and to check if he has been cured. And so if he has been cured, then what the priest will do is that he will instruct to bring the person back again to the community of God's people. And as you look at it, the description of it, you realize that isn't it so true that it is a description of sin in the life of God's people? How sin is such a terrible disease in the sight of God that those who are plagued with sin and they are unrepentant of their sins, how the sin would eat up their life, and how when they are consumed by their lust, by their sin, you find that they are identified and they have to be separated from the rest of the people, because it would affect others. It would affect others, and therefore there is a separation. Right? The person who is in that state would be in a sense isolated. Right? Isolated. Those who are sick, James instruct that they are to call upon the elders of the church to pray over them and anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. In other words, they are not well and they sought that they would be healed. And so the leaders of the church comes and pray and seek that God may be merciful from heaven to heal them. And if you were to think and consider this thought, you would find that in the New Testament church, the Lord also sought that we would withdraw from those who walk disorderly, so that they may be ashamed. And although they are not counted as enemies, but they are admonished as brethren. In other words, they are being their sin is being pointed out so that they can know it, and that they can change and they can repent of their sins. And so here, as you think about it, in the Corinthian church, right, Paul orders concerning a member that was excommunicated in the Corinthian church, that when he had given evidence of his repentance, that they should forgive him, comfort him, and confirm their love toward him. Matthew Henry. Now, why is it that God, by his laws, implement such measures? Well, it is so that the people of God will be kept pure from the pollution of sin that comes to affect the congregation of God's people, so that the people of God may be protected, so that the people of God may be preserved from the disorderly behavior that would cause others to follow suit, and then there would be it would affect the entire congregation. So it's a leaven. We said a leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. So here, of course, the first thought here, we see how when the leper is being healed, right, while he is outside the camp, in his isolation, the priest is to go and meet him and help him to see if he had been cured, then to bring him back again, so that he can be ceremonially cleansed, and then he can be brought back to the community of God's people. Verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, and then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. These are all the various elements needed for the purification process. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. So there were 2 birds there, one killed over running water, the blood is to be taken and sprinkled over the person 7 times, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes. So first he is cleansed, right, through the blood of the bird, with the other things that things that were mentioned, the cedar wood, scarlet, hyssop, and then his clothes has to be washed, and then his hair has to be shaved off, and he is to wash himself so that he may be clean. You remember Naaman, the Syrian general? He was plagued with leprosy, and he was asked to go to the Jordan River to wash himself 7 times. And after he washed, what happened? He was cleansed. He was cleansed. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave off his hair, off his head, his beard, his brow, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes, so he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. It reminds me of our Lord Jesus going into the leper colony to seek and heal the lepers. Luke chapter 17 give us this account. And as he entered into a village, there met him 10 lepers, the 10 men that were lepers, which were far off. And they lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go unto the priest." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And as I was looking at J.C. Ryle and what he, a good thought from him came, how this man earnestly cry for help when they feel their need of it. How they came to the Lord Jesus, how they sought his cleansing, and how they were cleansed. The condition of leprosy, a disease that no doctors could cure, when they came to the great physician, our Lord Jesus cured him. Jesus is the great physician. He is the restorer of the sin of leprosy. in the life of men. And when we would be willing to humble ourselves before God, come to God to ask for mercy, you would find that we will be helped. And the lesson is this also, that if we have been helped of the Lord and we have been cleansed, then our conduct must also be one of gratitude, gratefulness for what God had done for us. So there must be a heart of true repentance. Then there will be a heart of true gratefulness, all for the glory of God. When a person is healed, you'll find that from verse 10 onwards, he is to he will be, after his cleansing, be able to go to the tabernacle, right, to go to the priest to make an offering for his atonement for his sins. He is to bring a trespass offering. He is to bring a burnt offering to God. Of course, when they reach that stage, it means that, you know, they have been cleansed. In other words, the sin, you may say, of leprosy, the disease of sin, has been cleansed by their willingness to come to God and allowing, accepting, right, the solution that God had provided for the cleansing of our sins, right, through the Messiah of Israel, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, what did they do? Well, they came praying. They came praying. Or they came seeking the Lord. They said, "Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And that is a very wonderful posture of a man in need, isn't it? That we realize that we are sinners, that we realize that we need help. And if we have such a hard attitude, you'll find that God will surely hear our prayer when we are willing to humble ourselves so that we can be cleansed. We can find help, right, for our sins. And you would notice how out of all the 10 who were cleansed, there was only one who came to the Lord, or came back to the Lord, right? Our text tells us, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show thyself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." He was someone who was not a pure Jew. Someone who, realized, or by his social status, he's someone far away from, you may say, far away from grace, far away from help. But he was the one who was most grateful. He was the one who was most grateful. How he came back, he turned back. And Ryle says, in these verses, what a rare thing is thankfulness. We are told that all the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed, there was only one who turned back and gave him thanks. The words that fell from our Lord's lips upon this occasion was very solemn. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? It's easy for us to receive benefit from the Lord, right? We pray and we seek the Lord and God healed us. And then we forget. We forget to give thanks to the Lord. We forget to remember Him. And so the law that is given for the leper to come back to God is that he has to go through an elaborate process whereby he would bring offerings of trespass, of burnt offering, wave offering to God in order to thank the Lord for what God had done for him. So there is a sense of understanding here of what God had done, and there is an understanding of coming to God and to acknowledge our sinfulness and then to be able to offer a sacrifice, something that is worthy of, to signify that they are thankful to God for what God had done for them. And so here you would see how we notice that in Israel, when our Lord himself came and do the miracle work of curing, and how the heart of men lack, right? The 9 Jews, you know, 9 of them, they forgot. After they have been cleansed, after we have received the benefit from the Lord, right, we forget to thank Him. We forget about Him. We neglected, the Bible says, neglected, right, to notice, to see what a great thing that God had done for us. In our life, you would notice that, you know, it is like that. We think it as if, you know, God owe it to us to help us. God owe it to us to heal us. God owe it to us to do something for us. It is not like that. If God would have withheld, we would not have received. And therefore, it is important that the people of God must not forget. And it's easy for us to, you know, be saved and be in the grace of God and to receive the goodness of God and to experience the blessings of God. And then, you know, with time, we forget what God had done for us. We forget His, we forget all His benefits. Why is it like that? Why is it like that? You would find that it is important that the people of God must rekindle that first love. Rekindle that first love. Oftentimes, it is because there were those things that distracted, other idols that came into our lives that robbed us of our affection for our Lord. So much so that it causes us to have a kind of dullness in our senses concerning the work of grace in our hearts, in our lives. And that is very sad. And the believers in the house of God must learn this good lesson, right, as we think about this. It's easy for us, right, and Israel's history was like that, right? When God blessed them, God granted to them the goodness, right, then they began to go after the idols. They began to do their own things. They became very proud. They became very, cannot be talked to at all. Very frightening, isn't it? Then God had to send chastisement their way. Finally, they were deported out of the land. How many times were they deported? The northern kingdom was dispersed. The southern kingdom was dispersed twice, 70 years and 2,000 years. This is the sad plight of the human heart. They receive good, but after a while, they forget. And after they forget, you realize that, hey, yeah, what must we do? Well, we must trace our step back to where we have left our first love, where we have fallen, then repent, then come back to God again. That is the only way. May God be merciful to strengthen His people and keep us in the path of gratefulness for His own glory's sake. Amen.